WWGH 107.1 streaming www.WWGH 107.1 FM radio. Okay. I had to work on the volume, so that kind of got me off my opening cue, but okay, this is called A Voice of a People. My name is Linda Sims. Thank you for tuning in to this station. This is a radio talk show program, mostly. That's what we have here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. And we do have an option for you also to download a free app on any electronic device. And it's called TuneIn. And when you download TuneIn, search WWGH. Okay. Now, you also have an option to call in 740-383-9944. To ask any questions or to make any comments that may concern you. And thank you once again for tuning in. It may be your first time, but if not, welcome anyway. And welcome to those of you who faithfully support A Voice of a People. Thank you so very much. I need to also share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street, here in Marion, Ohio. Telephone number 740-382-8552. We have Inspect Ohio, LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 27 years of experience working for you. Their location, LaRue, Ohio. The phone number there, 740-262-0939. Last but not least, Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson. Address 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. Now, they have an ongoing announcement. Every third Saturday of every month, free produce market at Logos Christian Ministries, okay? That starts at 12 noon until 2 p.m. on December the 19th, 2020. I know it will be close to Christmas time. You may not have need of free produce, but if you know of anyone who does, please share this information with them and mark your calendars for December the 19th, 2020, starting at 12 noon until 2 p.m. at Logos Christian Ministries, 582 Lee Street, free produce. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. It's cold today, isn't it? Oh, wow. We got, I think, 3 to 5 inches in Marion, Ohio from November the 30th to December the 1st. I just pray that we do have snow on Christmas Day. Usually we get snow before or snow after. When Christmas comes, there's no snow. So join in with me. Wishing and hoping for snow for Christmas this year. And I think it's been like maybe 4, 5, 6 years since we have actually had snow on Christmas Day in Marion, Ohio. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. So hopefully that changes this year. Okay? So thank you. We're going to be optimistic because you know what? That is the thought for today. And I like to open up with a thought for today with every program that I have. And this is titled, The Value of Optimism. When faced with problems, it can seem difficult to maintain inner cheer. The mind gets caught up with more and more negativity, fear, or worry. Because of this, the problem seems bigger than it is, and we lose the ability to find solutions and work constructively. The first step I need to take when I recognize a problem is to smile to myself. Wow, I'll have to remember that, because usually when a problem arises, the first thing we do is frown or lose hope. or have to call someone and tell them, oh, you know what, this bad thing happened and such and such and such and such. So we have to remember, when we recognize their problem, is to smile to ourselves. When I make sure I am happy within, I know that every situation will pass and has something to teach me. Then I will find solutions come more quickly and easily. You know, I really like the thoughts for today that I receive on my in my email, because it really shakes me up and moves me in a more positive direction. And even though I'm a very optimistic person, I may not receive it that way at first, but you know, once I think about it, it's like, I do not like doom and gloom. I do not like the thought that this can't happen or it won't happen. I do not like to even twist my mind that way. I want to believe that all things are possible with Christ Jesus. You know, all things are possible. So let us try to be more optimistic about every little thing that happens. And it says, like, when faced with problems, it can seem difficult to maintain inner cheer. And it is very difficult to maintain that inner cheer when you're faced with problems, okay? And our mind does get caught up with more and more negativity, fear and worry. Like I said, let's call my girlfriend, let her know this has happened and it doesn't look good. What am I going to do? Give me some solutions. What do you think? Is that just me or is that you too? You know, let me call my mom. Let me call my sister, my brother, whoever whosever shoulder I use to cry on, okay? And because of this, we make that problem bigger. We make it bigger. We can make it so big it seems unsurmountable, unchangeable. Can't get around it, can't get over it, can't get under it. That's what we do. What they call that? Pessimism? Opposite of optimism, you know? But whatever is negativity, okay? Okay, so when we blow up this problem so big, we lose the ability to find solutions and work constructively. Okay. And we don't want to do that, because a lot of problems we do have to work out. You know, we have to find a solution. We might not need to call anyone, but maybe, like, if we take the time to think within ourselves or pull up maybe even a thought for today, like I did today, or a Bible scripture. And I'm sure they have, like, devotions that we can take time to read and uplift ourselves and to uplift other people, you know. And I tell my kids, you know, I'm not God. I'm just your mother. I don't have the answer to every problem, and none of us do. But let us try a little harder to be more optimistic. Okay. When we see a problem, take time to recognize the problem. Smile to yourself. Oh, it's just a problem. We get those almost daily, right? It's just a problem. All right. Smile, even if you don't mean it, right? A smile changes even the way you feel about yourself or the day, the hour, the moment, things that happened yesterday that you couldn't solve. You know, a smile changes a lot of things, and it changes you within and without. It just really does. And that could just be the problem to the whole day, or the whole problem is a smile on our face, right? All right. When I make sure I'm happy within, I know that every situation will pass and has something to teach me. Let us learn from the problems that we have each and every day, okay? And that way we can find solutions more quickly and easily by smiling to ourselves and looking at it optimistic and positive, okay? Even though it is a problem. Now, I have to lay the foundation for my guest today, Whitney Gurman. She will be calling today, because, you know, time is going so fast, we just lose track of time. So we're going to do a phone interview today, Whitney and myself. But Whitney Gurman, she wears many hats. She does intergroup dialogue facilitation, and she does social justice education, knowledge, and resources to engage in meaningful dialogue forums. She lives in Delaware, Ohio. She also is associated with Ohio State University of Marion, Ohio. She has been working or trying to solve this long life problem, racial healing, eating healthy food, affordable housing for people, and not only that, even gardens, okay? And income injustice. She just wears many hats and she's trying to solve a lot of problems. So she should be calling in at any moment. So we are just waiting for Whitney to give us a call, and she will be on until top of the hour at 5 p.m. Okay? Any moment now, she will be calling. I need to wear my headphones for that. Okay, let me get them on. Alrighty, I have them on. There she is. Hello, Whitney. Hello? Hello? Well, she'll be calling back.
I can hear you.
Oh, you can? Oh, there you are.
I don't know what happened.
I don't either, but hey, we're together now.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Of course, of course. And I was just saying to the audience, you know, during this age of COVID, time even goes faster, you think?
Yeah. Everyone initially thought, oh, this is the time to slow down. But I agree. It feels fast.
It does. It does. And I know you said time has slipped past you and you didn't even realize today was your day to be on the show.
Right. How have you been holding up?
With God's grace, I'm doing the best I can. How are you?
Yeah, I feel the same. Mostly good. I think I'm on like the other end of things. You know, the beginning of COVID, it's like we're all just trying to make sense of life and we're in survival mode.
That's true.
I think it's becoming more familiar and we're figuring out ways to cope and navigate and build resiliency.
True words spoken. True words. We're all trying to still figure this thing out, huh?
Yeah, I mean, we've had COVID, we had the social uprising, election season.
Oh, we're still in that, aren't we?
Yeah, I don't think that ever goes away.
Election season, I mean, from last I heard, they're still trying to find ways to overturn the election. What do you think about that?
Oh, boy. You know, I hate to see how much our country has been divided.
Right.
I truly think this survival instinct that we have with COVID relates to even the issue of elections, that when we experience a threat to what we care about or what we believe, it feels the same way in our bodies as if we are our physical body is being threatened. So in some ways, it's like we're dealing with multiple pandemics at once. And it's just wrecking havoc on our bodies and our minds and our nervous systems, being in this state of fear and anxiety and toxic stress, really.
Wow. I don't think we really look at it like that, Whitney. That is so observant of you. I know you haven't been doing like these case studies, like even racial healing and things like that. And I've seen a couple of your posts about how do you feel, you know, take a deep breath and all those type of things. And we don't even understand how much pressure and stress our bodies are in at this time and moment, do we?
No, and, you know, the way we hold our bodies affects the way we feel. And the inverse is also true, that the way we feel affects our bodies. So, you know, when you feel proud of yourself, you sit upright, you're confident, your head's up. When you're depressed, you might be slumping or curled in. And our feelings are not just, you know, abstractly floating in our minds. They affect our whole, well, our whole selves. You know, when we're stressed, you know, even if you pay attention right now, you know, where do you feel tense? Where do you feel constricted? And we are carrying some of that without pausing to even realize it.
Oh, yeah, as you just said, that I could feel tension that I didn't even realize I had. Wow, that is something. Wow.
Yeah. I carry a lot in my shoulders. I feel a lot of tightness in my shoulders, and I miss the days that we could go get massages.
I think we all need to do that. Mm-hmm. We need more massage, what do you call them, massage shops. That's what we need. We need more and more of those.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, 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 wow. And it's been such a stressful year. Just so out of sync with us, because it's not normal.
No. No, and I think we've tried to solve our problems so much with, you know, especially around diversity topics. We've tried diversity trainings and implicit bias tests and public dialogues, and sometimes our efforts aren't working as much as we'd expect because there's like this disconnect between what we say we believe and what is actually embodied, which means how is our body responding to these contentious topics, whether it's, you know, racism or elections or COVID-19, if we pay attention, our body has a response. Because the work I do is around racism, a lot of times I talk to white people about even the topic of racism, we might notice our heart beating faster, our palms might get sweaty, we might get fidgety. That has something to tell us about, you know, maybe bias that we still hold or discomfort. So I'm really encouraging people to slow down and pay attention to your body signal.
Right. That's good advice. That's good advice. And maybe we can rise above a lot of things that way. Hopefully we can.
Mm-hmm.
Because like you said, there's a disconnect between what you believe, maybe what you say you believe, and what has been embodied within, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and we facilitated a racial healing series in Delaware that wrapped up in November that kind of explored this in more detail and helped people understand kind of the neuroscience. Mm-hmm. Of our brains and our body's response, you know, when we are afraid, which often many of us feel afraid to talk about these issues, we're tense and closed up. And in that state of our brain, we're unable to problem solve. We're unable to learn or be curious or be empathetic. And so we have to find ways to establish safety, that we can feel safe in these conversations and be brave with one another, so that we can actually move out of the lower level of our brain into the part of our brain that can reason and problem solve and use empathy.
How long have you been doing this study?
So, you know, my degree's in social work, so I feel like it's home to me,
mm-hmm.
but I think over the summer, I watched my daughter Issa when she got into an argument with my niece, and it was something so simple, and I don't even remember what they were fighting over, but I watched Issa's body. She just could not move from the couch. It was like she was immobile, and she was so upset, And I tried everything to reason with her. You know, parents were like, sometimes we talk to our kids, like, assuming they're adults, and, oh, just, why can't you just use your head or think? And it dawned on me that I was asking her to do something that she was really unable to do because she was frozen. She was kind of numb for a moment. And so I asked her, let's go for a walk. And just by getting up and moving her body, I saw her relax. I saw her be able to talk more about the problem and be able to show empathy to my niece who she had hurt. At the same time this was going on is when the protests started with George Floyd. And it was kind of this aha moment that we have to get in touch with ourselves to build collective power, to move our movements in a positive direction, and harmonize with one another and heal with one another and not just get stuck on just trying to tell one another, well, just think, use your brain, open up your mind. You know, it's so much more complex than that.
You're right.
I'm guilty of that.
But you're right. I mean, you'd think we would have understood that by now, but you're right. Just get over it. And we're so, that is so easily said of all of us. Just get over it, you know. Things will change. You feel better in a few moments. But like you said, maybe I won't. Maybe I won't feel better, you know. And to, you know, observe your daughter and her body reaction to an argument that she had with someone else. And she, how old is your daughter?
Six.
6 years old. And just to think about yourself, if you're really angered, boy, that does take you to another level.
Wow. Yeah, I always have people in the workshops I facilitate hold out their fist and hold it tight, like clench your fist. And then with their other hand, I ask them to try to force that fist to open. And what happens is when it's forced, it gets tighter and more firm. And if you continue to hold that fist, your body gets numb. You know, and so we can't approach people by just telling them to open up because they actually sense that as fear. And instead of we maybe ask with more questions and curiosity, that fist can loosen up and be more willing to take risk and to learn in front of one another. And through this activity, you can see that, like, your fist actually does get looser, and you feel less of that numbing sensation that goes down your arm when you clench your fist so tight.
Wow. Is all this surprising you, this study?
It's surprising and familiar. Like, you know, I read over the summer Resmaa Menakem's book on racialized trauma. And I had always thought about people of color having trauma. But I was surprised to learn about how much we've internalized as white people. He talks about in his book that, you know, if you have a white body, there are times that you will reflexively constrict to protect yourself from some truth that you might be afraid to encounter. You know, this constriction might be followed up with a thought like, oh, I'm not that white person. I'm good, or this has nothing to do with me, or I'm not a racist. And throughout the book, he has these activities that, without doing anything about it, just noticing what you're experiencing, just watch your body closely, and notice what sensations, impulses, and emotions arise. And I began practicing this more and more with topics that I was uncomfortable with conversations that I've been forced to have, and then practicing it in my personal life. And I think I've experienced a lot more healing and clarity and discernment by making this part of my routine and incorporating it into my programming.
How's it going so far?
You know, I think there's some success. I think people get deeper to the root, but there's also some defense because of those strategies that we've adopted to protect ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when you're starting to talk about people's sense of safety or belonging or dignity, that people are uncomfortable at times, and, you know, they have strategies to protect themselves at some time. You know, people aren't ready to open up that wound, and that's okay. Maybe we just plant a seed and they come back to it at their own time.
That's true. That's true. Planting seeds. Wow. It sounds, quite involved. It does. It sounds quite involved. And I guess, and I know it has to be, you know, because you have to involve your entire self to go through these exercises. And they can't all be comfortable, you know. Some things we just not so easily done away with. But, you know, we can be, like I opened up with my show, the value of optimism. We can be optimistic about it all.
Right.
An important part is seeing a problem and addressing it in a positive way.
Right. That's, I love what you're talking about, is seeing that positive things. That there's all, most of us have things in our life that bring us a sense of joy or calmness. You know, nature, people in our lives, maybe people that were important to our past, our faith, even something like your favorite food. And we can think of those things, those resources to go to when our mind is overwhelmed, when our body is feeling stressed. And thinking about those positive things isn't to neglect the painful things,
right,
but it's to give us a sense of balance that right now we're in a pandemic and we can easily focus on the negative and catastrophize what's happening. But we can balance that also with noticing sensations that bring us joy.
Yes.
Paying attention to the smells, of sounds, all of those resources that might be meaningful to you, and just notice how your body feels and where, we talked about where our body experiences constriction or tightness, but where do you experience ease and comfort?
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Hmm.
So, this is also part of, I'm doing a 10-month training, train the trainer, on social resiliency. It's a course that's actually being offered out of Dayton, but because it's virtual, I was able to participate, and they provide 6 skills for resiliency, and I'm really hoping that we can find organizations in Marion that want to participate in this kind of training, because whether we are direct providers of care and healthcare and education, wherever we may be, we all need some kind of support right now.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And what I find fascinating is that the number of people who still say and consider this pandemic a farce.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, that's not helping the situation either, but I don't know what to say about that. So what other projects are you involved in at this time? I know you're so busy.
Well, I'm so excited because just about a few hours ago, I found out in the first public announcement that Marion County has been awarded $50,000 from The Ohio State University to do to investigate systematic racism experienced by young people in Marion County.
Really?
Yes. So the project is called Marion Dream Keepers, and its purpose is to elevate Black, Indigenous youth of color as experts in racial justice work, and we will be working with Marion City Schools. We're also working with the College of Social Work. We're working with Tuskegee University, the University of South Carolina, Marion Voices, and the Green Leadership Trust to facilitate young people's photography and storytelling and how they think that we could advance racial justice in our community. So we have $50,000 in 12 months to do it, and report back and really be a model for the nation on how youth can be engaged in creating change in our communities.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I'm so big. Excited. Yeah.
That is big.
It's very big. It's exciting to have our partners from Tuskegee in South Carolina, because they are going to be learning from us and learning from Marion on this model, and the first really of its kind.
And we got chosen.
We got chosen. Woo!
How great is that? Yay! That is beautiful, yeah. Isn't it? Wow.
It is.
Is there going to be like an age limit on the youth that you use, or is it just school age or college age? Or?
We're recruiting a lot of young people for Marion City Schools. We'll begin that recruitment in January. Mm-hmm. And really, you know, Marion City Schools and the work that John A. Jackson has done has helped lay the groundwork for this. Over the summer, they passed the social justice and equity resolution, mm-hmm. and then even more recently developed some equity non-negotiables that made this work really easy to slip into. And I think it's just going to be a ripple effect. You know, I'm excited to do this in Marion and then encourage surrounding school districts to also engage and raise money to do this in their own communities. We're raising money because the young people will be getting paid. So it's not a project that we ask them to do for free or just for course credit, but they'll actually receive a stipend for their contribution.
Right. Whoa. That's big.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's great because we have so many different people that approach racial justice from a specific lens. Mm-hmm. You know, Johnny is in education, and Jess does work around oral history telling, and Tuskegee University does a lot of work on food justice, and I also offer that vision, but also doing the healing justice work, and where are the places that young people go to experience healing. So it's going to be, I think it's going to be remarkable, and I'm so excited to get more information out there to the community.
Oh, yeah, it's huge. That's all I can say. It kind of takes my breath away to even think about, you know, we as a community city being chosen for that particular task, and to be for the nation, to be an example for the nation. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, Marion is, you know, a radical place with so many supporting people that are ready to make change. And that's what I love about Marion, is willing to do the brave work. So I'm very proud of our community.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Another example I can think of was when Marion Minority Commission came together with the city officials, and President Barack Obama was in office during that time, and our chief of police, Mr. Collins, was summoned to the White House, and they examined, you know, our relationships with the city officials, and I think that they were pretty blown away by that. So here comes something else that possibly we can blow the nation away with, you know, is a partnership with our, you know, city officials and the community. And that's exactly what it is. And this exercise that that will be taking a place, and you will be a part of, and Jess and Johnny and whoever else is going to be involved in that. My, what an honor.
Yeah, it really is. It's good to see those funds get distributed here, and to support local and to support efforts that people have been working on really for decades.
Yeah. Yes, you're right. That's something that is a lifelong project for generations to generations. You know, I don't know if... I just hope that, you know, a lot of people will look at it in a positive manner and accept positive change for the better.
Yeah.
No matter what their race may be, no matter what hang-ups they may have about other races or other people and how things are going in our world today, but we're just going to have to be optimistic about change and doing the mm-hmm. best we can to apply it to our lives, our children's lives, you know, our neighborhoods. It's just one of those things that's going to have to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, if we could see that it affects all of us, that none of us want to live in communities where there's hatred or division or white supremacy or whatnot, that all of us benefit from racial justice.
Yes. Anything positive, we all benefit from it. You're right. Absolutely right. And mm-hmm. hopefully this pandemic gets behind us, and I don't know how soon that may be. Looks like they're saying it could be like June before so many people even can receive the vaccine. Are you looking forward to that vaccine?
My dad asked me that question recently, too.
He did.
Will you take the vaccine? Oh, man, I don't know. Well, I think there's like a process where you have to be part of a special population group to get the first round. I don't know, like, the eligibility.
I don't either.
I guess we'll probably find that out in the next couple of weeks.
Right. I do believe in the people who are up front, frontliners. They definitely should have it because, you know, how can they take care of other people that become sick if they're not vaccinated themselves?
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's a great strain on them right now as far as being able to help, and they're getting sick and hospitalized, and they're begging for more nurses all over the country, you know?
Yeah. I've seen on the news where they're really trying to attract nurses even just to Ohio.
Yeah. Definitely. Yep. So, yeah, I think they've earned it. They've earned mm-hmm. that spot, you know, to be first. And then you have to look at the elderly and, you know, people that is having the hardest part of that COVID-19. Boy, I would have never dreamed that 2020 would hold these things in it, you know. So, I don't know. We kind of started out like this is the year double vision, you know, better vision, and we're all looking,
right.
Yeah, to the future, and we're ready to go like the Jetsons, and no, stop. Like, we was put on brakes, right? Time stop.
That's so true. Hey, maybe it's correcting our vision, though. Helps us prioritize what matters.
And I'm sure we are beginning to look at life a whole lot different than we were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true.
Because you have to realize, you know, it could change in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, it could be something much more different.
Yep. Yeah, I think we for sure have learned that this year.
Wow.
Do you have any resolutions for the new year?
Not yet. Not yet. I'm going to do a whole month of the year in review. And future aspirations. So you'll be getting a call for January. I'll be doing a whole month on that. Everyone that has really, you know, been on my show. I usually do it every year, though. Year in review.
That's nice.
And moving forward, you know, for the new year coming in. 2021. I never even imagined living this long. But to God be the glory, I'm here. You know, you're here. And it's just a brand new world we're looking at.
Yeah, we're all here in the same time and place, and we got to find the purpose of it and work together and take care of one another.
That's true. That's so true. And look positive and be positive, right?
That's right, yeah.
So we have like 1 minute left. Is there anything you would like to share?
No, you can follow Ohio State Marion County Extension on Facebook to get updates, to follow what we're doing. And you can also reach me on my phone at 740-914-3021 or email me at gurman.12@osu.edu if you'd like to learn about anything I've presented today.
Alrighty then. Thank you so very much. I have enjoyed our time together. And if I don't talk to you before Christmas, Merry Christmas to you. Or New Year's, Happy New Year 2021.
You too.
Okay.
Take care of yourself.
And you too. And thank you, Whitney.
Uh-huh.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Whitney Gurman, everyone. That was, I can say a friend. I came acquainted with her maybe 2 years ago now, but she's a busy lady, and she is really, she wears a lot of hats for our community. We didn't really get into a lot of things that she's doing, but I think this racial injustice or socially being involved is one of her top priorities, and maybe it should be, because like we just stated, we're looking at 2021 and hopefully a change for the better. Be optimistic. Till next time, be blessed. Linda Sims, a voice of a people on WWGH.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio, your place for holiday fun. For Marion's reigning queen of dance of 75 years, Martha Dowse.
'Twas the night before Christmas and all through the house, not a creature was stirring.